Okay, Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice one out there. I mean, it was raining hard.
Oh, my gosh.
This morning when we came in.
When I got into my car from my house, I had to just rip my jacket off because I could not sit in my car for close to 30 minutes soaking wet. And that's how it was being out in that rain.
Yeah, so, you know, any major flooding concerns to watch out for, we'll let you know about it here throughout the day on WBEN. All right, Joe, it's something not surprising. But there's new numbers that have kind of been put to something that we've been talking about quite a few times before, and that is that Americans are getting less religious, just in general. I mean, we've talked about this a bunch of times before. Yesterday, we had OLV Charities on in the morning, and, you know, just they received a big grant. How does that combat, you know, what you're not seeing in terms of donations of members of the church? You know, it's kind of going down and down and down. It's new numbers from Pew Research who have shown that more and more Americans are just not affiliated with any sort of religion. They put the number now at about 28% of people being either agnostic, atheist, or just most popular, nothing in particular. And I think that number's big, Joe, because I feel like even people who do not go to church, you know, aren't particularly religious, but were raised a certain way or, you know, are affiliated in somewhat, would still answer that question with a, you know, oh, I'm Catholic. Yeah. I'm whatever.
Right. Yeah. I, you know, have Sundays. I wish I went to church more. I'm Presbyterian. I do read a passage from the Bible every day on my Bible app, but I don't attend church. I'm here on Sundays, and that's an awful excuse. But if someone asked me, I'd say I'm Presbyterian.
Yeah, so I think it does kind of take a lot to have that answer. And we want to talk a little bit about it today. 803-0930, you can kind of weigh in. Why is that? And first, I thought we'd ask the expert this morning. And we got one on the line, Dr. Mike Smalley with Mike Smalley Ministries, also a PhD in theology. So he's been looking at this issue for quite a long time. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for being on with us this morning.
Hey, good morning to both of you. Thanks for having me.
So you've seen these numbers. You've kind of seen this trend also throughout the years. What strikes you when you see about 30%, it's almost a third of the country, say, you know, I'm just not religious in any sort of way?
Yeah, the numbers, any way you cut it, are down. When you deep dive into a lot of the figures and look past some of the general questions on these surveys, some of it is encouraging. You know, sometimes, especially in the South, when people are asked, are you particularly religious or what religion are you? In their mind, they're thinking the word denomination instead of religion. So they're thinking, well, I'm, you know, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist versus are you Buddhist, Christian or nothing at all? But the universities have had a big impact in the last 10 or 15 years. They've swung way farther left than even they had been before with a lot of campus culture leaning to atheism and, you know, trust the science and things like that. So that's a part of it. The other part is, and especially with COVID, when you had so many people who were going to church, even if it was just once a month, but the pandemic saw their churches close down, so they found themselves out of church, and they transferred over to watching it on their phone or watching it at home on television or getting it through apps and reading and things. So they just kind of never got back in the habit of going all the time. So then when they're asked, are you a part of a church? Are you a part of an official organization? The answer is no, but they're still getting some form of you know, Bible reading or Bible listening, et cetera. But overall, even when you factor in those layers, the numbers are definitely down.
Yeah, I've got to say, you know, I mean, you talk to people, we're a lot busier than we were 10, 20 years ago, right? I mean, for like I just said in our intro, I read a passage on the Bible app every day, but I haven't been to church in probably a year. Those numbers you said factored in, it's still down. So what are the trends over the last 20 years? Does this fit in with the trends, or was it that big drop at COVID?
You know, it's a bit of both. The COVID's more recent one. And the odd thing is, because I'm speaking in a different church every Sunday. I'm in Pittsburgh today. My home's in Dallas. And the crazy thing is though, 99% of churches that I link up with are still not back to the attendance that they were pre-pandemic. But even during the pandemic and up to now, the amazing thing is most pastors, if not all, told me that even though their physical numbers really dropped, their finances didn't, that people realized, hey, we can't go to church right now, but we don't want that thing to fold up. And so they really stay consistent with their tithing and their giving. But I do think what you're seeing a lot is two things that you can look back to. One is the campus culture I just mentioned. Second is the rise of social media with this generation who now, you know, can say they've been on Facebook 5, 10 years, et cetera. So they're exposed to a whole lot more negativity about organized religion, about Christianity, about churches, et cetera. You see more stuff on the news all the time. And so I think that's contributed a lot to the disinterest that people have. And then the whole, you know, science thing, trust the science. And when really it's ironic, because the most unscientific thing you could ever have is that absolutely nothing one day created absolutely everything. But that atheism rise, trust the science, don't do religion, that's a big, big thing among millennials right now and has really contributed to the drop as well. And it's kind of reap what you sow. When you really do a deep dive in a study, most people in their 20s weren't taken to church regularly by their parents. So now they're going to church even less than their parents did, which at best for some of them was sporadic as well.
When I see this, my mind, you know, gravitates toward one thing, because I think it's something that everybody can kind of get in on, and you don't have to be a part of the religion to care about this particular aspect of it. But when you see declining numbers of people going to church, sure, the religious aspect is one of them, but churches are kind of responsible for so much community service in their area that you don't really think about a lot. I mean, just everything from hosting AA programs to, you know, having a food bank to, you know, driving people to doctors, you know, all these little service things that are organized by churches. If there's nobody left, who picks up that thing? And there are great charitable organizations, but can they pick up what is left off by the church? Do you think that's something that maybe kind of flies under the radar? Every time we talk about this, we're sort of like, oh, you know, why aren't people religious anymore? But what about that impact that might not be talked about a lot?
Yeah, it's a very great point, and you're seeing a drop in many of these areas as well, because the church is the largest volunteer force in the country when you think of it. So with everything from post-divorce care and AA and all the things that you just mentioned. But the thing that you're seeing is with the decrease in church attendance, it's not transferring to an increase in these areas that you just mentioned. And the really reason for that is because at the root cause, the reason the churches did all that to begin with was they felt like it was a command from Christ in the gospel, love your neighbors, you love yourself. And so they had that inner drive to get out and reach their community. Well, when they're not in a corporate body that's organized to do that or encouraging them to do that, then you see a real decrease in the volunteerism of people, and long term that will absolutely affect this country.
I got a two-part question for you. Number one, how do we get people back into church? How do you get these numbers to start going a different direction? And number two, why is it, you know, you see these big mega churches and they still don't have an issue, right? You go to the big mega church, they have the auditorium's full and the overflow room's full, but it is the smaller churches that are having attendance issues. And even here in Buffalo, you're seeing some of the smaller churches close. The two questions are, how do we get these numbers to reverse? If that, you know, what's the plan to get these numbers to reverse? And why are the mega churches seemingly, with the naked eye, not having the issues that the smaller churches are having?
Those are great questions. I live in Dallas, and there's a mega church on every corner there. And so, you know, if you don't travel much, you get the impression every church runs 10,000. But the average church in America never breaks the 200 barrier. Actually, 80% are less than 200. You know, the main thing I tell pastors all the time, and pastors, you know, there's some of the greatest people on the earth. They're underpaid, overworked. A lot of them have secular jobs, plus they're doing their church, et cetera. But, you know, I always tell people Mexican restaurants close down when they start trying to serve Italian food. So, in other words, you have to do with what you're supposed to do. So I think pastors have to resist the temptation to give me the same speech I could have got at my business luncheon on Wednesday. And when people get up on Sunday morning, get their family up, go to church, they need to hear a message from the Bible. Like, the pastors need to put fresh bread on the table. They need to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is teach the scriptures and show people how to apply them in their everyday life, make Jesus more real than he was before we got there that sunny morning. And when churches stick to that, you see them grow. Even the smaller churches, they add, because people realize at the core of everything, you can have the, you know, American Idol stage presence and you can have the bells and whistles. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But at the end of the day, when stuff hits the fan in people's lives, they want the main thing to be the main thing. And if that's being put out every week, those churches see growth.
Well, hey, Mike, really appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Dr. Mike Smalley joining us, PhD in theology. I always wanted to, you never thought I'd have a theologian join us here, Joe.
Mark it off the list.
There we go. You can cross it off the list.
But you know, the last thing he said there, I think, is very interesting. And that goes beyond churches, but, you know, stick to what people were there to see. My parents switched churches because the sermon started getting political. I'm not here for a political speech. I'm here for, you know, scripture from the Bible and to talk about Jesus and religion. And I think that's a great point he made at the end.
I think there's a lot of different reasons. And anyone trying to pinpoint one would almost be foolish to do so, because everyone has their own personal reason. You know, and it kind of goes to something he said there where, you know, when I was talking about volunteerism and things like that, that happen through churches so often that really doesn't get talked about a ton when, you know, we say, oh, Americans are less religious. Like, that is kind of where my mind goes to and what I think about, that who is going to organize all these other things that happen through the church if there's less and less people going there. He kind of said, well, you know, the reason that all these things happen is, you know, you're directed from God. And I kind of think that part of the reason that it happens in a lot of churches is more of just a sense of community. Like, it is a community center in a way that you don't really have anywhere else. You're going, generally speaking, you're going to be going to the same church as a lot of people you live nearby. There's so many churches in the area, you know, unless you have, you know, I know people who have grown up going one place, don't want to go somewhere else, will travel there, you know, on a Sunday and drive a distance. That certainly happens. But generally speaking, you're there with people who live in the same area that you do, and you kind of have like that sense of community that is tougher and tougher to get, right? When everyone's so busy, when everyone's online more, right? And all that stuff, that it is the one place where you can kind of get that, and that's where the good deeds, and look at where good deeds come out of, right? They're, I think, a lot of times community driven. This, you know, Tyler Bass thing we've been talking about, that's what it's a bunch of people tied together through the bills that are doing this. You look at, we were talking about the postal workers, when they do a canned food drive, it's a community of people who see each other at work every day doing something good for everybody else. So when you lose that, it's kind of what I think about, maybe more so than another. But what is the reasoning behind it? And I think we'd be surprised, and this is where you can weigh in, 803-0930 throughout the morning here, 803-0930 to join us. Give us a call or send in your text this morning. I think you can ask 100 different people, Joe, and get maybe not 100, but 75 different answers.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a lot of issues. I think Dr. Smalley hit on some of them. But I think one of them is we are busy. I mean, us millennials, I mean, we're busy. You know, it's not the old days. You worked Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday were days off, right? That was days. I don't think it's that way anymore. And I think churches suffer for that. And I think you don't go to church, you lose your sense of religion.
Do you really think that's the case?
I think that plays into it.
You think people are more busy now than they were before?
I think you have more people working on the weekends than before, yes.
Okay, yeah, you'd have more people working on the weekends.
Yeah,
I don't know if people are more busy.
No, I might have. I think it's a 7-day work schedule, right? There's always people working 7 days a week.
Yeah,
we don't. We work 5 days. But
it's the oddity when somebody, oh, you're closed on Sunday. Like, oh, wow, throwback.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Like kind of what you think of.
And I think that plays into it. Now, like I said, I try to keep my sense of religion, even though I haven't been going to church. I try to read. I try to get my streak up on this Bible app. But I think some people, they stop going to church and they lose that sense of religion. I'm not saying, like you said, Brian, there's 75 to 100 reasons why these numbers are the way they are. I do think that plays a small part into it. And again, that might have been something that started 20 years ago and now is we're seeing the effects of it.
All right. I said 100 different people, 75 different reasons on the text board. You're getting some of them right now. This one, somebody saying, as a Catholic, the church has a lot of rules, and I know a lot of my friends have fell away from the church as they make it difficult process to get married, have a baptism, be approved to be a sponsor for confirmation, be approved to be a godparent, like things like that. I can absolutely see that weighing on people where you go, I don't want to offend anybody. You know, it's easy to do when you're talking about religion. Right. But I was raised Catholic my entire life. We go to a Lutheran church now, and I call it Catholic casual. Because that's what it is to me. You know, I've been to a Catholic church, the Lutheran service. It's like the same thing. You're reading from the same book. Like, Mass is basically the same. You just don't kneel. Like, everyone's a little more loose. And the rules are a little more loose when, like, all this strict stuff that they're talking about. And I think that's appealing to a lot of people. And I, you know, it's appealing to me where it's like, you know what? It has all the benefits of church that you would think, just a little less stuffy and buttoned up, and you feel more comfortable, like you're welcome there. And I absolutely think that feeling of not being welcome, of, you know, is it a little too stuffy? I think that sticks in a lot of people's heads if you grew up going to a church like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was not brought up Catholic. I'm Presbyterian, as I said. But I do like that Catholic churches have Saturday and Sunday. Some of them have Saturday and Sunday masses. I would like the option because someone said, Joe, you can watch online. I don't feel it's the same. Like, I feel when you go to church, you go. Now, I know some people, they have to watch online, and I completely understand that, and I appreciate that. But, like, part of going to church, as you said, Brian, is that sense of community. It's passing the peace. It's the you know, the happy hour afterward. That's part of going to church, is connecting with people. And, you know, I wish churches that were my denomination, right? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Denomination.
I said domination? Whoops. denomination. I wish offered more than just Sunday morning services.
You know, there's that. You can always go to a Catholic church and do it's.
Yeah, but
you know, again,
I'm not confirmed in the Catholic Church.
Christian, it's all almost the same. And I, you know, again, people are going to take offense to that. But I, like I said, raised Catholic. I go to Lutheran church. I've been to a lot of other types of services. Generally speaking, you're getting the same type of thing.
The service, but as a Lutheran, you don't have to go confess your sins to somebody. Right, that's just prayer that you say in church.
Here's the dirty secret, though. Like, you don't have to as a Catholic either.
I know.
You don't have to do anything.
As someone said, the rules of Catholicism, I do think that, you know, Catholicism is kind of a turnoff to some people. And
And
instead of going in, but like you did.
There's also a reason why Easter and Christmas are, like, the only 2 days where all the pews are packed. Like, it's not everybody's following every rule.
That's true. But I think some people just go, okay, well, I don't want to do that, instead of doing what you did and going and finding something that you like a little better.
I wouldn't have found it, you know, if it wasn't for my wife.
Right.
It was my wife's church, and, you know, that's where we ended up. I want to get to the phones quick before the break. Robert in Hamburg, you're on WBEN. All right, Robert, what do you think?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Robert.
I think that people aren't supposed to be religious. You know, if people did their due diligence of study, Nimrod came up with religion. And God the Father hates Nimrod worse than he hates Satan, you know? I used to be a Baptist. I know Yeshua Christ is my Savior, and I was baptized. And the reason I don't go to church is because every church in America is serving pagan gods. Christmas and Easter ain't got nothing to do with Lord God the Father.
No, Robert, thanks for the call. And
we're getting into the weeds now.
You're getting into the weeds a little. I think everyone's going to have their different reason. What's yours? 803-0930. Beam as in Beamer on WBEN. We're back here. You know, Joe, before we get back into our religion and everything we were talking about, I do have another story I found on what we were talking about yesterday, the plastic bags, you know, billions of bags saved because of the ban.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is, this might go against that. In New Jersey, their plastic consumption has tripled after the plastic bag ban was enacted, according to that. How does that happen? Well, I guess people are just buying, you know, how we got like a million texts saying, well, you can buy these bags here, buy these garbage bags here. Well, all the bags that you're buying are thicker plastic than what you would be getting with the plastic bag at the, you know, grocery store. So that is causing more plastic to be used because you're still using bags. You're using a thicker bag that might emit more to when they're actually in production.
So of course it backfires. Atmosphere. Of course it backfired.
60% decrease in the total bag volume, but an increase in plastic consumption. Mm. So there you go. It's just out in New Jersey. A little follow-up to what we were talking about yesterday with the plastic bags.
Yeah. And New Jersey, New Jersey, which had saved more bags, right?
They saved the most bags.
Which, yeah, you just can't put that one together.
Burning more plastic. I don't know. Anyways, we were talking, and we'll continue to, about a new study from the Pew Research Center that found about 28% of adults are religiously unaffiliated. Includes agnostics, atheists, and people who just don't really think about it at all. So almost a third of the country, the number keeps on going up and up and up. And what do you think about that? What do you think when you hear that and the impact it might have? And what are some of the reasons why? And if you've gravitated away from religion, I've said we could take 100 callers, there'd be at least 75 different reasons why, because it's, you know, really a personal subject.
That's right.
Well, go back to the phones and go to Rick in Riverside. You're on WBEN. How's it going this morning, Rick?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoying the show.
Oh, well, thanks for calling in. What do you think when you hear that news about a third of Americans non-religious?
Okay, well, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor at Riverside Baptist Church for over 30 years now. So I've seen some ebbs and flows. But what I can tell you is that people no longer have a healthy respect for a holy God. And what they're doing is they're becoming very selfish and self-centered. They're finding churches that entertain them and tickle their ears and preachers that tell them what they want to hear instead of what the Bible actually teaches. At Riverside Baptist Church, I've been preaching the Word of God verse by verse, book by book for 30 years now. And you'll find that a lot of the churches that have lots of people, like these mega churches, aren't preaching the Bible. What they're doing is they're preaching a consumer-driven message just to attract people. And we are living in a culture where we're seeing lots of lazy, self-centered people. And if people actually would study the Bible, they'd realize that they go to worship a thrice holy God. The Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. And that respect and that reverence for God has gone right out the window in this culture. And I don't blame people for not going to churches like that. They need to find a church that respects the God of the Bible and a church that doesn't entertain. Somebody once said that there's too many churches that entertain the goats instead of feed the sheep. And that's what's happening today.
Rick, you know, looking at these numbers that we've been talking about, have you seen this trend within your own church?
Oh, yes, we have. I mean, we find people that are making all kinds of excuses why to not come to church. And really, it's just because they're becoming brainwashed by the culture. And churches, pastors, especially being a pastor for over 30 years, if you want to have a church that attracts people, you're going to drive yourself crazy because you always have to come up with the newest thing to keep people entertained. So I just want to be a faithful pastor who preaches the Word of God, administers the sacraments, the ordinances, loves people, reaches out to them when they're hurting. But churches don't want that today. People don't want that today. And especially after COVID hit, people got used to just staying home. We put our services online, and a lot of people became comfortable in just watching our services online. But I always tell them, if you're healthy, it's best if you come to worship live with your brothers and sisters instead of just laying in bed and watching it on the computer. Basically, the streaming is for shut-ins and people who are handicapped and sick or older people that can't get out. So people make a lot of excuses why not to go to church, but I don't blame a lot of people that go to churches that have no substance. They're just superficial.
Well, hey, Rick, appreciate the time and the call this morning. Thanks for listening. I like something he said there about selfishness. I do think that that's something like now more than any point in history is something that everybody kind of has to deal with in their own way. Like we are, I will agree with him. I think that we are kind of being driven into through a lot of different ways. I think social media might be first among them, right? Yep. Everybody has a voice. Like you can have a voice that, you know, might be seen as important. Instagram, the star is you, like your life documented as if anybody cares. but like all this stuff, it kind of drives you to everything you're taught now. We're both taught in school, Joe, that you can be anything you want, right? You can, not saying that's necessarily a bad thing,
right?
But I do think all of it together kind of, you know, funnels you toward this you-centric way of looking at the world that is, it can be hard to overcome. And maybe church is, you know, one of the answers that helps you overcome it. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a reason that people don't want to go to church. Maybe it's something else. But I do think that there is some truth to what he said there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it, Brian, we are more selfish now than I think we've ever been in our history. And that's because we have the gadgets and the websites to help us be, as you said, more you-centric.
But
focus on you.
I think that's, you know, beautifying yourself. It's just like you.
Yeah.
And you don't see a lot of that. Like, what can you do for other people? 803-0930, if you want to join us here, give us a call. Send us a text, 803-0930. We've seen the numbers. If you are less religious or you've just kind of dropped off, what is the reason why? 803-0930. I think, Joe, when you look at some of the comments that have rolled in over, everyone has a little bit of a different reason. But another thing that the caller just mentioned was that sometimes you're not getting what you're looking for out of. And it's funny because two people can be looking for two completely different things out of church. How do you please everybody?
Right. I mean, I think you have to stick with, as Dr. Smalley said, you have to stick with the word, right? Preaching the Bible. That's what church is. And I guess there are some people who go to church and say, well, I'm not getting anything out of this, right? They want the quick fix in life, I guess. I don't know. But you walk in, you go, well, I have better things to do with my time and walk out. And unfortunately, that goes back to what you said.
Well, do you have to stick with that? Like, I don't necessarily agree with, you know, that thought and what the caller just said about, you know, bells and whistles. And I think anything you can do to bring people in, you know, certainly if you're running something just to sell people stuff, like if you're running like a big for-profit center, it's probably not the best way to run your church operation, not what you want to be a part of. But
you can add too many bells and whistles, though, and make it not church. I think that's what the pastor was saying.
Can you, though? I think that's up for debate. I don't think you can. Again, like if it's driven by money, then yes. Like, you're right in that fact. But anything to get people in, like anything to get people. So what I said, to me, the most important thing in all of this is, what are you going to lose on a community level with the services that are provided by churches and the people who go to them?
Right.
Anything you can do to get people in that environment, I think is a good thing. And if it's instead of the choir, you know, mini kiss in the corner playing all the hymns.
I mean, like, now we're talking.
But if that's what you need to do, I don't see personally anything wrong with that. I also, like, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I can kind of see, like, everything. I also do like, as a parent, although I still haven't found a way to have, well, one of my kids isn't even one yet, so I'll stick with my oldest. Still haven't found a way to make this stick. Like, I do think there is something to the value is, as you're a young kid, and this goes back to my upbringing in Catholic Mass a lot of time, there is kind of a value of taking somebody and going, look, you're going to sit here.
Yeah.
You're going to be quiet. It's going to be boring. You're going to stand. You're going to sit. You're going to kneel. You're not going to say anything unless it's in bold on this piece of paper. And yeah, you're going to spend an hour here, and you're going to like it.
Or that's right.
Actually, you're not going to like it, but that's life.
Right.
And you're going to sit through it, and you're going to have to sit through a lot of things. This is practice for the rest of your life. I kind of think there's something to that as well.
You do get to talk when you stand up and shake hands.
Yeah, I haven't found a way to get my kid to, you know, be on the narrow focus.
Well, as long as he didn't do what a young Joe Beamer did. Once I was not a well-behaved kid, and one day at church, I took my hand and took all the bread off the communion platter. So as long as he doesn't do that, he's in better shape than I was.
Thought it was a free-for-all?
No, yeah. I was upset, and I wanted to take my parents off. I was not a well-behaved kid.
I thought you were just hungry. That would have been,
been a good excuse.
I could see that happening. We'll go to Lynn in Lancaster. Lynn, how's it going?
Yes. I like what you were saying before, that you were Catholic and you changed to your wife's being Lutheran. I'm Lutheran, too, and I was brought up a Lutheran. Well, I'm not anything anymore, really. I don't have a religion now, but I was raised Lutheran. I had a mother who didn't go to church, who really wasn't into that, and a father who was very devoted to being a Lutheran. So I saw both ends of it. So, but I like what you say about how, I know it just seems more sensible. You know, Luther started the Lutheran religion breaking away from the Catholic Church, you know, 5,000 or 5 centuries ago, rather. And I think he, his, that way, the way he explained it was very much more sensible. You know, why would you need to go to a priest, a man, to talk to God, and if you need to do that. And I just find it, I found it to be more sensible religion altogether.
Lynn, the thing that I've found and when it is a little less uptight, and again, I don't want to characterize every single church in the same breath, but mm-hmm. this is just my personal experience. When things are a little less uptight, you tend to... Right. You know, no more. I went most of, well, maybe it's half and half now by this point in my life, but most of my life through a Catholic church, I don't think I talked to a single other person in the pews, but I know way more people who, and there's far fewer people, to be honest, at the Lutheran church I go to now, I think just because once you're just a little bit more relaxed, you're open to having that communication.
I totally agree. I think it's common sense, you know, and well, the Catholic Church is the largest business on the face of the earth. You know, they do a lot of good, but they also had big problems, you know, forcing men to be priests, to be celibate. It goes against human nature. The whole idea of, and what, I don't know, I have a lot against the Catholic Church, that I just don't find it to be, where's the common sense to a lot of it? It's not there. But most of my friends were Catholic, and a lot still are. And we don't talk about it because they're so steeped in it. And they, you know, they've had it drilled in their head since they were children. So it's not up for debate. But personally, I feel if you have to have a religion, Lutheran is you know, more sensible. Yeah. Or, you know, I don't know. I just, my sons are both science teachers on both ends of the, you know, one here in Amherst, one in California. And, you know, we're more on the science end of religion. I guess I'm more of like an agnostic, if anything.
Well, hey, Lynn, thanks for the call. And, hey, you do your own thing.
Yeah.
I think that's more and more people. The interesting part of this to me was within that 30%. It was, you know, are you agnostic? Are you atheist? Because I think there was a time where it's, if you weren't religious, you were atheist.
Right.
Right.
It's just one or the other.
I just don't believe, no, there is no God, right? I'm an atheist. But now the majority of that number, if you're not religious, you just don't care.
Yeah.
And is one worse than the other? If you're looking at this from like a perspective of somebody trying to get people into church?
That's a great, I think... If you're trying to get people in the church, you would rather the either don't care or just don't think of either than atheist.
I don't know. Like at least the atheists are thinking about it. At least the atheists are giving it some thought, and it's like occupying some brain space. I think the big problem here for a lot of churches is you see in this number, and I don't disagree with this number. I think it's pretty spot on what you get from a poll. I think if you looked, you know, into what people are actually doing and not how they respond to a poll, that number would actually be higher. I think the big concern is of people who just don't think about it really at all. It's not an option for them because it doesn't occupy any time or space within their head.
Yeah, and like you said, that's a big change in the last two decades, I think.
Yeah, it is. All right, well, you know, appreciate all the comments coming in. A lot of text rolling in as well. You got Hardline coming up this Sunday?
Hardline coming up this Sunday. We're going to be joined by Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski. You know, he's running, Brian, for state senate. He's going to try to take Tim Kennedy's seat. We'll talk to him about that. He's also going to be at the event with the mail carriers today, talking about the potential move to Rochester. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about that. We'll also be joined by State Senator Sean Ryan, who announced an affordable housing plan, four-step affordable housing plan yesterday. We'll talk with him. Also trying to connect with a few other guests for Sunday.
So you're going to be talking about the mail situation, yes. The postal situation that's being talked about here now. We talked about it this morning. Potentially moving, you know, a big sorting center in Cheektowaga over to the Rochester area. How important is it, like that speed, the next day or, you know, the delivery of a letter? How important is it to you? How, like, crazy are you about tracking packages and, like, getting things in a snap?
I'm glad you asked that. So I have the informed delivery on my mail, mm-hmm. which sends me a picture of what's coming in my mailbox today.
Really?
Right, yeah.
Like you're just regular mail, not packages.
Regular mail. It will tell me the packages, but I get pictures of the envelope.
Jeez, I didn't even know that was an option.
It is. It's free, too. And today, so I'm looking at my mail, it says you have two letters. Someone forgot to take the pictures. I have a feeling if this moves to Rochester, I'm not getting those pictures anymore.
Yeah.
But it all depends, right? My W-2.
Do you need a picture?
Very important.
Here, look at this junk twice.
Well, I'd like to know what it, but if it's important, yeah. I'd like to know it's there, mm-hmm. you know? Like my W-2. I don't know, and I don't remember signing up for physical delivery. I don't know when that happened, that I don't get the digital anymore. That's a story for off air. But now I'm waiting for my work W-2 because, hey, next week it opens for the IRS and we want to file right away. So I'm hoping that comes in the next week. So when it comes to speed, yeah, there's a letter I'm hoping for in the next week.
I just know, like, when packages and things like that, I think we've taken a step backward. Maybe it could just be me and the places I'm ordering from. But we went for a while where, you know, way back when, I remember ordering like band t-shirts, and how you would do it is a pamphlet came in the CD on how to mail order,
oh, yeah.
you know, something from wherever over, you know, by the New York area or from the other side of the country. You know, it's typically on one of the coasts. And then you send that in, and then 3 months later, you'd get, right? Like, you'd yeah. pay for it then maybe 3 months later you get it. But it took a long time.
Yeah, and you didn't get to track it on your phone like you can now.
Yeah, you get a little faster. And then Amazon two-day delivery. Just like, whoa. Amazon two-day. And then, you know, suddenly, like, 2 days became 4 days, and then it's, like, within a week. And now I'm seeing, like, I order packages from places, not Amazon, that I'm almost back to the, like, it might be a month or two. I just got something in the mail yesterday that I ordered over a month ago. And now, granted, it's from overseas, but still, like, I think we're taking, like, a step back a little bit.
For sure. Amazon alone. Remember when the Prime logo used to mean 2 days? Doesn't matter. If it had the Prime logo next to it, it was 2 days. I was looking for a playpen earlier in the week, mm-hmm. on Amazon. Most of them were not in 2 days, and they all had the Prime logo next to them.
Yeah.
So right there alone, taking a step back. And you know what? Even with that out of the question, the jobs that would be affected by this in Western New York, I think, would be a huge blow to the local economy. So I would like to see that stay in Cheektowaga.
The time thing doesn't really bother me, with the exception of what you mentioned. Like, the option of having that in 2 days, like, hey, it's Monday, I just found out I'm going to need something for the weekend, can I order it online? Would be nice. Now I think that's a big question mark. If you need it same week, you might be going out.
Because, again, and I hate to keep on going after Amazon, but they're the big one.
They're the one that advertises it. Right?
How many
times? It's like two-day delivery. That's their thing.
And how many times is that delivery? And again, sometimes weather, sometimes not weather. Did it say, oh, you know what? It's gotten moved to tomorrow. I ordered goldfish, not an actual fish, the snack goldfish. And my goldfish got delayed from a two-day delivery. Oh,
well, the bad news is, too, you can't get those anywhere.
It was a good deal, Brian, okay?
All right, so you have Joe on Hardline. You got David coming up after the news with Lucas. I'll be back here Monday morning. Thanks for listening. BMAS and Beamer on WBEN.